Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. Dave Glover Show, a few minutes past 5 p.m. Each Tuesday, we try to have a big, interesting guest for you. Today, we have Glenn Jacobs, who is the Republican mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. He is also very well known as Kane the Wrestler. Glenn, thank you for being on with us today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Dave. I appreciate you.
So I was a huge wrestling fan. I'm about your age. I'm 55. I think you're 52, 53. I was a huge wrestling at the Chase guy in St. Louis. I know you didn't grow up here, but being in wrestling, does that mean anything to you? Is that vintage stuff, Lord Alfred Hayes and Bobo Brazil and all that?
Well, no, here's the thing. I grew up about 2 hours north of St. Louis.
Oh,
I grew up
okay.
in Hannibal, Missouri.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so yeah. So once a month we would come down to my grandmother's house. She lived over by West Alton. And I'd watch wrestling at the Chase.
That's awesome.
I remember seeing Baron Von Raschke and, Harley Race and Yvonne Erichs and the whole deal. At the time, wrestling at the Chase was the number one show in the country. It was the best show in the country.
There's Unreal.
Promoter in St. Louis, a guy named Sam Muchnick. Great guy, great promoter, and did an unbelievable job. And St. Louis was one of the capitals of professional wrestling around the world.
Wow.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I just knew
growing up. Did you not? Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've lived here my whole life as a kid. I believe it was on Sundays, and I would eat too many pancakes, and I would watch Wrestling at the Chase, and there was an old lady with red hair in a beehive that would walk around, and she'd get so mad, my dad would just love it. Man, that was, like, Pat O'Connor was 100 years old when he was wrestling the Von Erichs, and so great. I'm going to turn you over, Glenn, to Tony Colombo for my show, who is huge into libertarian politics, and still huge into WWE. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Tony, nice to meet you. Yeah, great to meet you. When Dave was asking you about St. Louis, it made me think of the actual debut of the character Kane was right here in St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken,
sure was.
At our Scott Trade Center. Probably a huge moment for you and maybe one of the biggest in your wrestling career.
Probably the biggest, actually. Yeah. That was October of 1997. It was In Your House, Bad Blood, I think, was the pay-per-view. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker in their first Hell in a Cell match. And there I was. And it was a great night. It was huge for me because that debut had been built up for months.
Yeah.
And really, WWE did a phenomenal job of setting the table for me and the introduction of the Kane character. And, it was just couldn't have been done any better than what it was. And really, and then I'm thinking, gosh, this is Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. I hope I don't mess all this up, right? So I was more worried about messing everything up than I was anything else.
So a Hell in the Cell match, Dave, is a cage match with a roof.
Okay.
So you can't climb out. And when Kane came to the ring, he tore the padlock chain door off the Hell in the Cell to get in after the guys, and amazing moment. Yeah. I'm sure for you and the WWE always seems to have a special place in its heart and for St. Louis, and it continues to be a big wrestling city. But I know we got other things to talk about. Talk about that. How do you go from Kane, the 7-foot brother of the Undertaker, demon from hell, to a Republican / libertarian politician? Just talk about that transformation and what pulled you in that direction.
Well, I think that you know, one of the things when you look at successful characters in WWE, they always reinvent themselves and over yes. a quarter, you know, course of a career. You know, so I've never been afraid to try new things and step outside of my comfort zone. I'm someone who has had just phenomenal opportunities. You know, I grew up near Hannibal, Missouri. And who would ever thunk that, you know, someone like me would be able to really have the opportunities to do the things that I've been able to do. And it is because of opportunities. It's because of the American system, free enterprise system, the free market, and then the freedom that we enjoy here. So to me, you know, for me, just I believe it's imperative that we protect that. You know, and what makes America special is the fact that we do have opportunities. We have the freedom to utilize our gifts and live the life that we want to live. I'm living proof of that. And my entire goal in politics and government is to make sure that other people have the ability to do the same. And the government stays out of the way of our personal lives so that we can enjoy the fruits of our labor and be able to live the lives that we want to live. I mean, all of us, you know, it's the American dream is a real thing. And it's worth, you know, it's worth protecting. It's what makes America, America.
Yeah. One of the things we talk about on this show a lot is the idea of a third, you know, and fourth, multiple political parties. And as Dave mentioned, I have a very libertarian lean to the way that I think. I believe you're that way, too. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yes.
Is that a correct
no, I
statement?
Am. Yeah. Very much so. Yes. Very much so.
How does that blend in your mind? With the, you know, unfortunately, you see many people that are libertarians. The saying he's a libertarian running as a Republican is unfortunately something that we hear a lot in politics. Is that because we are just not a country that's built to have a legitimate third or fourth party? And if we were to ever get there, I mean, is that even something that it'd be possible in our lifetime to even see?
Well, frankly, the way that the election laws are currently written, you know, the Republicans and Democrats write them. So it is very biased towards a two-party system. And the infrastructure is also there. You know, and to me, though, if you look at the Republican platform, it's actually pretty libertarian, you know, and we look at a guy like Ronald Reagan, who, you know, I mean, he said that the heart of conservatism is libertarianism. And I think what's happened, you know, I got fed up with the Republican Party for a while just because, I mean, it became, you know, it's just too many big government people in it. But then you see, you know, other folks, like a great example is Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky. You know, who, you know, you look at him and, he shares my philosophy and he's got a pretty big voice in the Republican Party now. So I think it's just like anything else. The system is set up the way the system is set up and, you can, you know, you can stay outside the system and try to change it, which is going to be very difficult, you know, or you can try to work within the system, try to push it in a certain way, which can frankly be equally as difficult in many cases. You know, I know I've, you know, people worry about getting compromised by the system, you know, and then that's true. I mean, you know, I think that a lot of folks don't see a difference between Republicans and Democrats because, you know, they're, two faces of the same thing in some cases. You know, it's always about big government and, you know, more, you know, government taking more control over various aspects of our life. And, you know, but I think that with people, well, hopefully like me and Rand Paul and others, you know, that we can give a small government alternative and maximize people's ability to act and live the life that they want to live.
Guys, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Glenn Jacobs, who is now a Republican mayor. You may know him as Kane from WWE. So, Glenn, what do you make of the whole just Trump phenomenon?
Well, I think that's an outgrowth of frustration with the parties. Frankly, Trump was not your establishment Republican, you know, by any stretch of imagination. And you know, people are just they're tired of folks that don't represent them, you know, and no matter what you might think about Trump, he was not an establishment guy. He was not an establishment person, and he shook things up. And, it's very interesting because when you look at his strategy for winning the campaign in 2018, he went to places that were Democratic strongholds and was able to flip voters there because he actually went there and talked to the people about their problems. And I think that is just more telling. I mean, Trump winning was actually convinced me that I could win because I was like, if Donald Trump can become president, I got a chance. Because people are tired of career politicians. They're tired of establishment politicians. They want something different. I think that's what Trump illustrates in a big way.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, you talked about the Republican Party sort of shifting towards a more libertarian view. The Democratic Party, especially if you look at this crop of presidential candidates, seems to be shifting to the socialist view. What do you make of the direction of the Democratic Party right now?
Well, one thing you have to keep in mind is this happens almost every election. Your primary voter and your general voter can be two different things. And what you'll see in elections is in the primary, people go to their base, and then in the general election, they move to the middle. Nevertheless, it is alarming that the rhetoric of just straight socialism, and of course I think we've tossed that word around so much now that people aren't sure what that means. But basically, just give government all your money, all the power; it can solve all the problems. The issue is not the fact that the fact that there are inefficiencies within government and government's there to serve a certain role and should be confined to that role. It's just the idea that government can do anything. You just need to give them all the power. And that is alarming because when we've seen that around the world, it has resulted in disaster everywhere. And then you'll hear, well, it just wasn't done right, or we're talking about something different. We're talking about democratic socialism instead of socialism. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. And that's, the fact that we can look through history and we can see evidence that, we're not talking theory here. We're talking evidence. And, it's just, hey, we're going to give you a bunch of stuff for free. And people are like, okay. And, never thought about who pays the price, who pays the cost. What does it mean for our freedom? What does it mean for the future? That doesn't really come into the conversation. And I would hope that it would.
Glenn, you have a event coming near us coming up soon. Can you tell us about that?
Sure do. As I said, I grew up near Hannibal, Missouri. So October 12th, I will be at the Admiral Coots Armory for a special meet and greet. My friend Mark Morton, who wrestles a little bit. In fact, Mark and I started out together. He's organizing this show. And unfortunately, I'd really like everybody's keep Mark in their prayers. He suffered something the other day. We're not quite sure what it was, but he's actually in the hospital right now. That was a big blow to me personally. Mark and I go way back. I think he's going to be okay, but it's still kind of early. They haven't figured out what's exactly wrong with him. So hopefully he's listening to the show and, hearing all this. But yeah, that's going to be October 12th at the Admiral Coons Armory in Hannibal, Missouri. It should be a great time and love to see everybody there.
Very cool.
Great stuff.
Glenn, thanks so much. Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you guys very much for your time. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
I'll just never hear this song again the same. This was the song I played for Phoebe.
Oh, yeah.
Last summer.
Yeah, and she said it's not even music.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Working Man was going to turn her around. And I had the Jeep top down, and we're driving somewhere on a sunny day, and I cranked it up. And she got a look on her face like I put dog poop under her nose. She's just like, I don't even know what this is.
Didn't she say it just sounds like a bunch of guitars?
Yeah. Like, what are they even doing?
It's not even music. It just sounds like a bunch of guitars.
And what's funny? My dad would have said the same thing. So my father and my daughter both agree on my taste in music.
What if this would have turned her around and she was just like the world's biggest 14-year-old Rush fan at this point?
No, I would have really regretted that.
That would have been weird, too.
Really regretted that.
Is Rush music for musicians primarily?
I don't. I mean, for people my age, they had hits. You know.
Yeah, I know some of them.
But even I love Rush, but I bet there's more of their music I don't know than I do.
I understand they started the genre math rock. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Where there's lots of weird time changes in the music that you almost have to like make equations to do it right.
I've never heard it called that.
Man, I don't often get angry at Skip Weber, but when he brought up Rush as one of the greatest bands of the 1990s,
oh, yeah,
for the right. decades
and
music,
we allowed that to happen.
That was messed up. I'm still bitter about that.
I'm with
for
you
the Sweet 16.
I'm with you on
he
that.
Just texted me. He'll be back on Monday.
Did anyone happen to watch A Very Brady Renovation last night?
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
They she are. Was like, finally!
What about the Brady Bunch?
Finally somebody's talking about
they
it.
They are just old as F.
Yeah, well, yes.
My God.
Well, what's the plot?
It was 50 years ago, wasn't
I know, but to me it's like...
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. What, did they go in and renovate the set?
Okay. Here, yes. You'll know better than me.
Okay.
But my understanding is there is a... The outside photo of the house that we've all seen,
yes,
was not the set they used. And what's interesting is it was like a 2-bedroom, 2-bath house, mm-hmm. but the Brady house was like kind of a mansion. Mm-hmm. It was huge. Mm-hmm. So they bought the property and they're renovating it to look like the Brady house.
That is correct.
Okay.
And they have to put on an addition so yes. that they can have rooms for all the Brady kids as the original show was set up. So they outbid Lance Bass for this property.
Whoa.
Which wow. is just totally random.
That is random.
It's wow. just
all over every reality show.
Yeah, I mean, it really shows the budget of that.
It does.
Of that production as well, that they were able to outbid Lance Bass.
Well, he was going to give $1.8 million, and they bought it for $3.3 million.
Jeez. I actually outbid Lance Bass for my house in Florissant.
Well.
Of all the Backstreet Boys who've been to the moon, he's my favorite.
He's an NSYNC.
That's
so
what I meant.
Good try. but they're not updating it. They're taking it back
yeah.
to look like the show.
Right.
So it's very interesting.
I feel like you could blindfold me, put me in the real Brady house,
yes.
and I could take you on a tour.
Me too.
Like I just right. knew... I knew my way around.
Didn't yep. all the boys share a room and all the girls shared a room?
Until yes. Greg moved upstairs
to the
and had his own place.
Yeah.
And then the girls took it over, but the boys thought that was crap. And so they pretended that there were ghosts up there, which scared the pee out of me.
Yeah.
Remember when the thing came out of the chest?
Oh, come on. Totally scary.
Shut up.
And of course, Dad Mike had an office. So there are different rooms they have to have, and they have to put in a staircase from the iconic show.
Yeah.
So the dad was so selfish.
That is correct, Tony.
That they had 10 kids or whatever it was.
Six.
Five in each room. 12 kids. Six in each room.
Oy.
And the dad is like, well, I still get this big bedroom to convert into an office.
That is yep. absolutely right. And
that doesn't seem right to me.
Alice, the housekeeper, had her own room as well.
Did we ever see her room?
I think
she slept in the shed. Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of episodes where they addressed the fact that Alice was a spinster, and they were all like really sad.
What? She was dating Sam the Butcher.
Well, maybe it was a special that was released years later. Do you guys remember these? Or is this a fever
you
dream
may be
of mine?
Thinking.
I think she and Sam broke up, and she's like crying because she's so horribly lonely.
No, I think that's real, Rachel.
I vaguely
also,
remember this.
Also, there was an episode where Alice had to go out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So it was her twin sister who was like...
Yeah, that's how work works.
Even more butchy version of... Alice, who was a PE teacher, remember that?
Oh.
And she was putting them all through their paces.
Yes.
And they had to fool Alice into coming back
yeah.
home.
Yeah, yeah.
Alice could have had her own life, but they were just too selfish to let go.
Sam the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher.
Do you guys remember the Brady Bunch movie from the 90s?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's
gosh,
good.
I love that movie.
It was good.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's really well done. You wouldn't think that something like that would be as well done as it is.
No, they did a good job.
It was
job.
Her cousin, Sergeant Emma.
Sergeant
That's
Emma.
It.
Sergeant Emma.
Thank you. Thank you. And they had her in sweatpants.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she's out of town.
Oh, even I
just
remember
like,
this episode.
Get her sister in here.
Sergeant
yes.
Emma.
Yes, she had a whole
Was it the same actress?
Former Master Sergeant.
Yeah,
takes
of course,
Alice.
It's the same
it was.
Actress.
It's the 70s.
Oh, twin
a former
sisters.
Master Sergeant takes Alice's place while she is away. And she subjects the Bradys to a demanding military-like routine that makes them feel like they've been drafted into the army.
I swear you could name any episode.
She's got a whistle around her neck.
Of course she does.
Any episode, and I could tell you the basics.
That's kind of what's great about this.
I thought that about Garfield books until recently.
we should have a Brady off between Dave and Sue. You.
Well, the renovation show is they'll say, what color was this room? And the guy who played Greg will say, well, I think it was this color. And then they'll flash back to when he painted it with Alice. So they'll do flashbacks to the original show, and it is really kind of cute.
Man, we might have landed on something here with the Garfoff. If we did have a Brady-off between Dave and Sue,
yeah,
the point would mostly just be, like, who knows the Brady Bunch better? So if two people in the studio claim to be the expert, that's how we figure out who the expert is.
It might be you.
Here's the thing.
I don't know, Sue. You're dropping some knowledge just casually here.
It isn't that I'm smarter than Sue. It's that I'm going to bet it all that she had more of a life. Like, while she was doing things with friends, I was watching the Brady Bunch, and they were my friends.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I was not as hardcore, but I know my Bradys. I bet you could beat me at it, though.
Were you Munsters or Addams Family?
Neither.
Our family was a Munsters family.
Oh, definitely. Addams Family was too smart for me.
But Addams Family was another movie that they did in the 90s that was just aces. I mean, they did such a great job with that.
I didn't love black and white back then. Isn't that not good to say? I know.
It's racist.
I was spoiled.
To me it was Brady or Partridge.
Oh, Brady.
And Partridge always made me feel strange.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
And then Munsters or Addams Family. And Addams Family were for like really smart kids who got reference humor. I just more wanted to see Fred dress up like a woman.
So were they on at the same time?
I'm not sure if they were opposite each other,
but
just very few people watched both.
It just seems crazy that two separate networks would be like, all right, they've got the Addams Family. I've got an idea.
You're right.
It's basically the same thing.
Right.
Dude, listen
to
this.
That still happens
due to
today.
Marginal ratings only reaching number 34 in the Nielsen ratings at its peak.
No.
The show was never renewed for a whole season until its last season on the air, 1973-1974.
Which show are you talking about?
The Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
During its first four seasons, it was only renewed for 13 episodes at a time.
That's amazing.
They didn't want to make a commitment to it because it was never a big rating success.
Interesting. I was pretty small at the time, so I didn't see it till later, and then I would see it at reruns. I think. Did your brother watch it? Did any of your older siblings watch it, Dave, or was it just you?
I mean, they were gone by the time I was four, and I was watching it like after school.
So does the show start with them all being a family, or does it start with a mom and dad meeting?
It's the story of a man named Brady.
Yeah, it starts with the wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's some settling in to do, I assume.
Oh, yes, yep, Rachel.
There is.
And then when I was a weird little sex monkey at like 13, I remember thinking like, well, they're not related, so...
I think they dip into that in the movie. In the
they
90s.
Do.
Yeah, I think Marcia and
so to speak.
What's his name? Greg, the oldest one.
Yeah, Greg.
Got something going.
How were you afraid of the Brady Halloween episode or the ghost episode? And now you do ghost hunting and stuff. That's amazing.
I was afraid.
People change.
When I was a kid, I've always been obsessed with it. I would watch every creature feature. I loved every ghosty episode of a non-ghosty show.
Twilight Zone.
But then I would just suffer. I would just not sleep at night.
Carol Brady still looks amazing whenever I see her on television. Mm-hmm. She's still alive, right?
I think she might have passed away.
The lady who plays Marcia looks amazing.
Yeah, she looks good.
Marcia. Listen to this. The show, famous for its squeaky clean image and Goody Two-Shoes characters,
there was
one episode... Season 4, Episode 10, Goodbye, Alice, Hello, that was considered too racy to be shown in its entirety in syndication. In one scene in the episode, Bobby and Cindy, both wearing bathrobes, standing in the kitchen and talking to Alice, plead with her for permission to go skinny dipping at a party at their friend's house.
Whoa.
Can't put that on television.
By the way, Florence Henderson, who was the mother, did pass away.
Yeah. Oh.
So the kids,
I bet she still looks good.
She looked great up until the end.
No, she did. She really did.
She still looks good.
She did. So I'm kind of obsessed with this show now.
So Jim Talent up next?
Jim Talent's up next.
All right.
Ask him his thoughts on the bunch. Come on.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 545. Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., I will be at Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men at Watson and Lindbergh. Be there till 1. Emo's Pizza the whole time. And specials on a bunch of stuff. And I'm giving neck shaves. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jim Talent will come by and I can shave his neck. Hello, Senator.
Dave, I'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nothing like a good neck shave.
Sure, you know? There's always been a tension between us. We'll just get rid of that.
It sort of spices up the whole week.
Absolutely.
What do you use to do the shave? Do you use a straight razor? I mean, that's kind of concerning. You know?
Nah, I just pluck them. I just use my hand.
One at a time with a tweezer.
The downside of that is less, but I think it's more painful.
So, Jim, what do you make of the whole Bolton thing? Did you see this coming, knowing both of these gentlemen a little bit?
Yeah, I did. And I think it started with the whole Persian Gulf thing, because Bolton was, I'll use my usual disclaimer. I don't have any inside information, but, I mean, you know, Bolton wanted to strike back when the Iranians hit the drone. Mm-hmm. And originally I did too. I really think the way it's worked out has been better. But I think probably at that point, Trump said, I'm not sure I'm getting the best advice from this guy. There's been a lot of turbulence in the national security establishment in the last year, and I think the president needs to calm down for a while. Now, to be fair, most of that is because it took him so long to get a Secretary of Defense to replace Mattis. I mean, that was the big problem, not so much this. This is a staff position. It's a very important staff position, but it's a staff position, okay? And so the president can have what he wants on his staff.
So, to me, Bolton is very cartoonish. I just feel like that he constantly wanted to invade everybody. I mean, is that way just too much of an exaggeration? I just can't imagine someone being too aggressive for Trump, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Right. Yeah, I think it is, actually, Dave. I mean, I know Bolton, but I understand why you feel that way. See, I'm old enough to remember the Robert Bork hearings. And, you know, you've read about them. And Bork's big problem was how he looked. I mean, he had these bug eyes and he had the beard and all his stuff, right? And so people thought, wow, you know, this is if he'd been a sort of congenial-looking guy. And I think John looks pretty fierce. But he's really a pretty standard sort of cold warrior kind of guy, whether you like that or don't like it. As I said, I think this is because, you know, Trump wants a certain result in Afghanistan. Now, and we can talk about this if you want. I'm not so sure that the president can get the result he wants. And that's sort of the underlying substantive concern I have here. I think the best possible result for the United States is likely to be pretty much what we're doing now. Which doesn't mean that anybody's happy with it, okay? But I think that may be the least unpalatable thing. But you're right. I mean, you know, so Bolton comes across that way, and in a social media era that exposes him to this sort of thing. But I know him pretty well. I mean, he's a clear thinking guy who knows evil when he sees it and doesn't mind calling it for what it is. And he's done a lot of great work in the Trump administration, and the president said that, right? I mean, and I think Trump was sincere in saying that.
Senator, this is Tony Colombo. I'm glad you brought up Afghanistan. What were your thoughts on the idea of meeting with the Taliban at Camp David? If that wouldn't have fallen apart, would you have been in support of that being the right action to take?
Not at Camp David, no. I don't have a problem with negotiating with them under the right circumstance. Let me take 45 seconds, maybe.
Yeah, please do.
We're almost at, to talk about Afghanistan. So the question, I think, with Afghanistan, you have to say, what's the right question before you try and get the right answer? So the right question is, in my opinion, what is the least risky and expensive way at hitting on our enemies? Because everybody agrees, well, maybe not Marianne Williamson, but everybody else agrees that the Taliban's our enemy, right? So, you know, if we could go in again with 200,000 troops, we don't want to do that. We could pull out entirely and hit them from the outside. that would still involve combat. It would not be anywhere near as effective. I mean, I think the best way of striking at them is to have a footprint in country, a small number of troops, I would say probably 10 to 15,000, mostly engaged in combat support. They're not in direct combat. Keeping them off the foot, in other words, keeping them unbalanced and hitting them all the time and doing that for as long as it takes, because they're a very dangerous terrorist group. And that's basically what we've got. But the situation is we now are in a second president in a row who doesn't like that, who viscerally wants to end that, and I understand it. But the problem, this is a head-heart thing. Your heart wants to get out. Your head says, well, what's actually better? And I don't think there is a better thing. So I think Bolton is right on the merits of this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was going on, you know, between him and Trump. But I think he's basically right on the merits of it. Now, it would be nice if we had a bigger special ops force so these guys don't have to go over there for as long. And the rest of it, I mean, it's too burdensome on too small a group of people. But I think the situation we're in now is not the worst situation in the world to be in Afghanistan. We're preventing attacks in the United States, striking at our enemies, and the casualties are very, very limited. And the cost, you know, you don't like spending it, but I mean, we are trying to fight terrorism around the world.
Jim, what, if anything, can you tell us about this CNN story about we pulled our best spy out of Russia in 2017 and we're denying it, and how dare CNN report this, and what's all this about?
I'm reading up on that. Right now, I'm not sure what to say. I mean, I'm not a black box sort of like spy guy, although it interests me, and I'm got a couple calls out, so maybe next week. This is my way of getting on the show next week, by the way.
That always made me laugh, because anytime we would catch a Russian spy, it was like, those sons of bitches! And like, right. Of course we have spies over there. Like, this is just, it seems kind of dumb that we act so surprised.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's like when everybody's been shocked for the last couple of years, the Russians are interfering in our elections. I mean, the Chinese are interfering in like five times. I mean, yeah, this happens all the time. Now, I have a lot of faith, and I really do, always have, in the good sense of the American people. And I think they can distinguish, you know, when the foreigners are, you know, getting involved too much. But yeah, I mean, this is a whole thing that they do. This is gray war. This is, I mean, Putin sits around thinking. I think he's very bitter at the fall of the Soviet Union, and he identifies the United States as the primary, protagonist of that, and he's right, and he's trying to stick it to us. I think this is his reason, you know, for living in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
and so he wants to screw us up, and I'm waiting for the president, and we haven't had it in the last three. You know, who tells this guy off?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, for whatever reason. I know Trump says, like, oh, you kidding me? I'm harder on Russia than anybody, and maybe he is, but between he and Putin, I just don't see him telling Putin off.
No. Well, I will say, I think he's been marginally better than Bush or Clinton. I mean, Bush, there's a quote, if you Google it, I looked in his eyes and I saw into his soul. I mean, this is Bush. And then with Obama, it was like, oh, I'll have more flexibility after the election. And I don't know. I mean, I think like 80% of your listeners, if they were president and had a meeting with Vladimir Putin, well, actually, why don't you do a segment on that? What would you tell Vladimir Putin if you were the president?
We will do
that. I think I'd look at him and I'd say, look, you little, you know, SOB.
Yeah.
Because that's who he is. He's a KGB thug, right? I mean, I know it's a family show, so I'm not going to, like, spell it out.
We usually don't spell things like that on this show. So, so Jim, any recent articles or projects you should tell people about?
No, but I'm working on one on Afghanistan. Because I want to lay out what I said to you guys before. I want to tell people, look, you know, this has not been as bad as people think. I mean, it wasn't the complete victory we wanted. Okay, but you know, Dave, what we spend, I looked it up, and this could be wrong by a little bit. We spend 3 to 3.5% of our GDP, okay, one out of every $33, basically, on the armed forces of the United States. We've had a handful of casualties in Afghanistan in the last couple of years. Now, one is one too many, okay? But what we're doing there now, we have bases all over the Middle East. If we stay in a combat support role, okay, screwing up and attacking our enemies there, this is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Okay?
No,
and we can maintain it indefinitely. I mean, we've been in Korea, Japan, Kuwait, Bahrain, you know? I mean, let's keep screwing with the Taliban. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
All right, Jim. We'll talk to you next week either way. Thanks.
Right. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.